Thank you for joining us for God's Word for today. We continue our Bible study this morning in the book of Romans and chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In these latter chapters of Romans, Paul has been directing believers in what their relationship should be with fellow men, both in the church and in society. And in these verses, he's warning against complacency in the lives of believers. Complacency hinders the ministry of local churches perhaps more than any one single thing. You can go along just really having some great success, and then all of a sudden it seems like church members become complacent. They get lackadaisical in their attendance. They get lackadaisical in their work that they've been accomplishing and doing in the local church. Believers often grow careless concerning their Christian walk and lose their vision concerning the vocation to which we have been called. Many would rather read books about the Bible than spend time reading the Bible itself. Many preachers began to seek after the latest church building schemes rather than seeking advice and leadership from the divine master builder. Believers often spend little time in Bible study. They accept the pastor's word or what someone has written in a book. They're often caught up in the things of the world more so than they are in the things of God. And given a choice between having their kid missing a ball practice or a revival service, many will skip the revival service. Many fail to realize that time is short on this earth and that we will all be held accountable on how we spend that time for the Lord Jesus Christ, how much we're involved in his work that he's called us to do. The greatest need, my friends, of this hour is not a revival meeting, but an old-time Holy Ghost awakening in our churches. I believe we're but playing church. We have few churches that are really making any kind of a spiritual impact on our cities and our nation. For the most part, I think week after week after week after week, if you listen to preachers around the country talk and church leaders talk, we see that many are just playing church. The churches are just playing church. And there's not any real moving of the Holy Spirit within the membership of these local churches. We have all kinds of ministers in our churches today. The seminaries are cranking out this kind of minister, that kind of minister. We have ministers of music. We have ministers of youth. We have ministers of visitation. We have ministers of senior adults. We even have ministers of praise and worship. But I tell you today, what we need is some old-time preachers of God's Word that will preach the truth without compromise. And when people get convicted by the Holy Ghost and get saved, they're going to praise and worship God, and they don't need a minister of praise and worship to show them how. Such preaching is going to save the young people. Such preaching is going to save the old people. And ministers of youth and senior adults won't have to invent all kinds of games and gimmicks to keep them entertained. They will come and praise and worship God and pray rather than want to play. Perhaps the church needs less ministers and more preachers that will preach the word like it is, to people as they are, and not worry about if they're going to come back or not. Not all are going to be glad to hear the old time gospel. Many will be offended by it and never will come back to hear it again. But the Bible tells us that. But yet many others are going to hear and gladly receive it. And they will come to Christ and they will be saved, and we'll see them baptized and come into the local church and become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's time that the church wakes up, as our scripture tells us, and realizes that our foolishness and our complacency is killing the ministries of many local churches today. It's time to quit walking in the darkness of the world and put on the armor of light. Works of darkness refer to deeds done undercover, works which men want to keep secret, things they like to do when they're not in the public eye, works which such men know are unacceptable to God. It's time to walk straight and to walk honestly and honorably. And that goes for governmental leaders, as well as church leaders, and for all that follow them. We certainly have seen examples of some of the leadership of this country not walking honestly, not walking honorably. There cannot be a spiritual awakening in our churches as long as works of darkness exist in our churches. The church is in the world, but I'm afraid we have too much of the world in our churches. Paul states that there's an urgent need for these things. The night is far spent, he said. The day of the Lord is approaching. Yet our churches across the country today, many believers are asleep. They're unaware of the needs that exist in our churches and in the world around them. They're not caring about the coming judgment upon this world. Why are so many believers asleep or complacent? I believe that one reason that many believers are complacent is because of such teaching as that being done by Tim LaHaye and other dispensational Bible teachers today. The Left Behind series does one good service, and that is it urges people to be ready for the rapture of the saints, and to that I find good in it. But it also has a tendency to have saved people believe that they will not have to endure any trials of tribulation, that the tribulation period is not for them, that they will escape in the rapture. Many are not concerned about the coming trials, therefore. Many are not concerned about the hardships and tribulations that are coming upon this world, for they believe that it doesn't apply to them, and if there be those that have to go through it, so be it, but it's not for them. Now, I don't care what you believe, whether you believe the church is going to escape through the rapture before the tribulation period or whether you believe the church goes through the tribulation period. There are going to be people that go through a hard time of tribulation. The Bible says that the greatest hour of tribulation is yet to come upon this earth, and that many are going to suffer greatly, and many of those are going to be God's people according to Scripture. You say, but it's not church saints. What difference does it make? Whether it be church saints or latter saints or whatever you want to call them, they're still God's people, and we should be concerned about what's coming against this earth. We should be, according to Scripture, concerned about the lost people that are going to have to endure God's wrath for rejecting Jesus Christ. We ought to be praying that more of them have their eyes open and come to the knowledge, saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we pray for them? Not very often. Our churches are in a sleep mode, waiting for the sound of the trumpet to escape anything bad that's coming. I think it's a mistake to lull them to sleep with that kind of teaching. The dispensational position on the rapture as presented by Tim LaHaye and others is built on a lot of speculation and assumption as to what the Bible says, and does not present a solid scriptural statement that can back up those assumptions. For example, in Revelation 4, 1 through 2, John saw an open door in heaven and heard a voice saying, "Come up here." In verse 2, John writes that immediately I was in the Spirit, and he sees a throne in heaven, the throne of God. LaHaye and other dispensationalists say that this is when the rapture occurs, that John represents the raptured saints when he's called into heaven. Never mind that raptured saints will ascend into heaven in glorified bodies, and yet in Revelation, John is caught up in spirit form. Fourth chapter of Revelation begins after these things, referring back to the seven messages to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. So dispensational logic says that immediately after the church age, represented by chapters 2 and 3, believers are immediately caught up into heaven, and the seven-year tribulation period begins on the earth. Lahey writes in his book, Revelation Unveiled, John's elevation to heaven is a picture of the rapture of the church just before the tribulation begins. Does he give any specific scriptural evidence to support his theory? No, but he gives four reasons, none of which offers definite proof. One, the location of this event is right for the rapture. Chapters 4 through 5 present a picture of events in heaven. Chapter 6 introduces the tribulation period. He says that the location of this event is right. What location? Chapter 4. What event? The rapture. By whose estimation is this location of this event right? The dispensationalist? Or is it actually scripturally taught there in the Bible that that's exactly when the rapture occurs? His second reason, the absence of any mention of the church and the rest of Revelation, indicates that it's not on earth during the tribulation period. Thirdly, the extensive use of Old Testament language and symbols in chapters 4 through 18 is an indication of Israel and not the church. This is understandable since the church age is the time of the Gentiles and the tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble. And yet, isn't it amazing that the church began with Jews? First churches were Jewish churches. That there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek that are in Jesus Christ, and every Jew that is saved today comes into the body of Christ and is found only in the church. Fourthly, there is much similarity between the events of Revelation 4, 1 through 2 and other scriptural teaching on the rapture, such as 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. He goes on to state that none of the above four reasons is sufficient in itself to insist that Revelation 4, 1 through 2 refers to the rapture of the church, but when all are considered together, we are inclined to believe that this inference can rightly be made. In other words, his teaching that the rapture occurs in Revelation 4, 1 through 2 is based upon opinion, speculation, and assumption, and does not offer any definite scriptural fact, according to his own wording. Yet thousands are flocking to this and accepting that as absolutely factual as far as Scripture is concerned, that this is going to happen just like Leahy's teaching. Read the Bible for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit open your minds to understanding of that book in which he wrote. Church is being lulled asleep by this kind of teaching on this subject and other subjects. Many believers are not reading the Bible for themselves, and believers should open their minds to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Not books about the Holy Spirit, not books about the Bible, but read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Close the books of these speculators and let God reveal scriptural truth to us. Complacency will flee our church and we will be awakened spiritually in our churches, and great revival can break out in our churches. Well, I see our time is up.